You are listening to KAYT-FM, Gina, Alexandria, 88.1. K255BT, Monroe, West Monroe, 98.9 FM. K223BI, Greenwood, Shreveport, 92.5 FM. KQJO, St. Joseph, Louisiana, Natchez, Mississippi, 99.3 FM. And K261EB, Lake Charles, 100.1 FM. And online at www.kaytfm.com. The heart and soul of Central Louisiana.
Central Louisiana, celebrate the 4th of July right here at home at the Rock the Red Celebration in downtown Alexandria. This 4th of July, get ready for Rock the Red. Thursday, July 4th, Rock the Red kicks off at 6 p.m. with food, fun, and fireworks. Taking to the stage, it's Cupid. The entertainment doesn't stop there. Hyperfly also takes the stage.
I said, hey, Mr. Cupid, can you pour me a shot?
No need to pack up your vehicle and travel miles away for the 4th of July celebration when it's right here at home. Alexandria, get ready to rock the red on July 4th from 6 p.m. to 9 p.m. Enjoy food from local vendors, entertainment from Cupid and Hyperfly. And to close out the celebration, fireworks over the Red River. It's the City of Alexandria's 4th of July celebration at the Downtown Amphitheater. Rock the Red.
The City of Alexandria is a proud underwriting sponsor of KAYT KQJOFM.
The Central Louisiana Juneteenth Association presents the 26th Annual Juneteenth Cultural and Heritage Celebration, themed Let's Do This Together. Starting Thursday, June 13th at 6:30 p.m. Downtown Rock, featuring Leon Shavers and the Zydeco Flames. Friday, June 14th, young ladies will compete in the Miss Juneteenth pageant starting at 7 p.m. at the Alexandria Downtown Convention Hall. It's free to the public. Saturday, June 15th, the annual Juneteenth Parade begins at 5 p.m. from Broadway Avenue to the Alexandria Amphitheater with live music from Keith Frank and the Swallow Zydeco Band. Monday, June 17th is Youth Day at the Downtown Convention Hall. Youth Etiquette, performing arts workshop from 3 to 5 p.m. and a quiz bowl at 6:30 p.m. Tuesday, June 18th, let's go worship at the Second Evergreen Baptist Church with guest pastor Joe Gant of Shreveport. And Wednesday, June 19th, it's the Juneteenth Empowerment Summit at the Bolton Avenue Community Center. The 26th Annual Juneteenth Association, a week of celebration for the entire family.
The Juneteenth Association is a proud sponsor of KAYT KQJO.
So Pete got out of the boat, started walking on water, and came toward Jesus. So Mr. J said, Mr. J, Jesus said, come on, Cletus. I don't think he said that. He said, come. And Pete got out of the boat, started walking on the water, and came to Jesus. So Jesus said, come. Notice the purposeful inflection. And Peter got out of the boat, started walking on the water, and came toward Jesus. Do me a favor, push five people like you're really trying to make them fall and tell them, get out the boat, get out the boat, get out the boat, get. No, that's the wrong person. Push three people, make them fall. Say, get out the boat. Push them in their seat, make them fall. Say, I got to push you because you're not gonna leave this boat. Push them and say, get out of the boat. You may be seated in the Lord's house. It was Billy Graham who said, and I quote, one cannot serve God and money, but you can serve God with money, unquote. It was Mother Teresa who said, if you can't feed 1,000 people, feed one. Most of you know we've been sort of inculcating this idea of giving into your spirit. If you haven't been here since December, cooling the game, welcome back. This church is going wild, so I'm preaching really 12 installments of wild. We started with tithing gone wild. Now we're in a teaching titled giving gone wild. Just a couple of weeks, we're going to transition to Jesus or evangelism gone wild. Then faith gone wild. Then prayer gone wild. Then worship gone wild. Then marriage gone wild. Then singles. No, praise God. I'll figure something out, but we're not going to go wild. Lord, help me. Amen. All right, but right now we're in this whole idea of giving, and it's all over me. It's keeping me up at night. It's waking me up early in the morning. I'm not nervous. I'm not upset. It's a kind of anticipation that has me walking the floor. Can't wake up early enough to help somebody. My kids homeschool, so I'm taking them a couple of hours once a week to places where I grew up and trying to help them to see how we can give back to places I used to hoop at and places where I used to box at, and they got the same boxing ring that they've had for 40 years and broke treadmills and no boxing gloves and no computers for young people to do assignments and grown people to put in resumes and print stuff down, and how our family can touch and impact that as well as our church. I'm on the phone with mayors of this area, city of Cleveland, city of Warrensville, East Cleveland superintendent, who goes here asking one question: how can I help? That our church has been called to give. It's just all over me. It's what I do. Romans 12, it's my gift. And the church takes on the personality of its pastor. That's why God hooked us up, because you a giver too. With all the stuff you've been through, the average person at my church just likes to help people, because many of us needed help. Those of us with degrees still remember somebody had to help us get the degree and help us with our child. I like this particular Matthean text. I do. Y'all just pray for me, because it craves context. I know I say it all the time, but I'm a trip when it comes to movie watching. If I'm 2 minutes late, I'd rather not go in. I want to see the lights go down, turn your cell phone off, popcorn commercials, and what's coming soon. I need it all. That girl know I'll miss the whole movie if I don't get every second of the context. A lot of pastors preach without context, so you feel like you're in the middle of the movie, not knowing exactly what happened. To set the context this morning, it's critical to me, because most of you know this is the story of Jesus walking on the water. You learned that as you matriculated through Sunday School 101. Everybody knows that's been in church 5 minutes, this is the water walking narrative, where Jesus walks on water. Let's set the context. Many people know that right before he walked on water, he fed the 15,000. Pastor, it was five. Hebraically, often they didn't speak about women and children, but if the average brother had a wife and two babies, about 15,000 people he fed. A lot of people know that. Let me tell you what I've never heard any preacher in my life deal with, and that is what happened before that. Because what happened before that is his cousin got killed. Never heard anybody touch this. That's right, John the Baptist was beheaded. You know why, don't you? Because this cute girl was so cute that the king said, girl, dance for me. I give you whatever you want, up to half of my kingdom. Her mama whispered in her ear and said, get John the Baptist's head. I can't stand that repentant preaching fool. So get John the Baptist's head when he asks you. And since he's made a promise, if he backs out, he loses credibility. So that girl danced with her cute self and said, I want John the Baptist's head. The Bible says they bring word to Jesus and say, John is dead. Now, most people say, so what, Pastor? He's God. He can handle it. Don't minimize the hypostatic union. The hypostatic union simply means Jesus is the only person that was all God and all man at the same time. He was all God, and yet he was all man. The God part of him is going to walk on water and feed the 15,000, but the man part of him is tripping on his cousin. Ooh, I know you've never thought about this, but you do know John was 6 months older than him. Auntie Elizabeth had to have him first so he could pave the way. So they was 1 year old together, Ray. They was two together, Ray and Miles. They was 8 years old together. They was 12 together, 13 together. They kicked it. They played. The text don't tell me, but Jesus, like any other child, I'm sure at some point kicked it with his cousin. And his cousin didn't just die. His cousin got murdered. Yeah, it's one thing when grandma died with 27 grandkids around the bed singing "This Little Light of Mine," we expect that. But this brother got killed like ISIS, neck chopped off. And so Jesus, peep this, is grieving, but while he's grieving, he can't stop leading. Ooh, I'm preaching much better than you responding. Trust me, I know what I'm talking about. When you're a leader, even when you're grieving, you can't stop leading. Why? Because his 12 disciples are still following him. And now, not only is he grieving and leading, but some people hungry, so now he got to do some feeding. So he's grieving because cuz just died, hasn't even told Auntie Elizabeth yet, has not did the funeral yet, in the throes of grief. But while he's grieving, he can't stop leading. And then when he's leading, people get hungry, so he got to do some feeding. Ultimately, because of grieving, leading, bleeding, and feeding, he found himself needing. Yes, he did. He found himself needing. Pray for me. Now y'all see why I like to get to the movies on time. Because now that you have the context, won't this movie go better for you? Because now look at verse 22 of Matthew 14, everybody. And the text says, immediately he made his disciples get into a boat and go ahead to the other side while he dismissed the crowds. And after he dismissed the crowds, he went up on a mountain to pray. When evening came, he was there alone. Y'all just missed that. Peep this, everybody. Did you catch the movie on time? John cuz died. He's grieving and bleeding. People still looking to him, so he got to keep leading. Trust me, I know. On top of that, people need stuff, so he got to do some feeding. After that emotional and existential, arduous kind of day, he found himself needing. How much so? He tells his crew, get on the boat. I'll holler later. How you going to catch up with us? Don't worry. Get on the boat. Go to the other side. I got to go hook up with my daddy. I got to go hook up with my daddy. I got to ask you a question. How does someone that's perfectly righteous need refueling? How does someone that's perfect need prayer? How does someone who is God need godly guidance? Y'all missed it. How does someone who's perfectly righteous need refueling? Refueling. How does someone who's perfect need prayer? How does someone who's so godly need guidance? Here's a better question. If perfection needs prayer, how can imperfection not? If perfection needed prayer, how can imperfection not? If he who was perfectly righteous needed to be refueled, if he who was perfect needed prayer, if he who was godly needed guidance, who the heck you think you are? Have you touched your neighbor since I started this sermon? Lean on somebody and say, I need God every day. Go ahead. I wish I had somebody like me that have lived long enough to know no matter how much money you got, no matter how handsome your husband is, no matter how cute your wife is, no matter how big your degree, every now and then, won't God put you in a place where you realize, John 15, without me, you can do nothing. Is there anybody that only woke up because he woke you up, only stood up because he stood you up, only... I want to talk to somebody here that has lived long enough to know I can't make it without Jesus. I woke up 2 days ago, Maria, and the Lord bothered me at 5 a.m. and told me to come tell you it's prayer time. This church is going wild. We're 2 weeks away from a new season. I'm changing everything. The sanctuary's going to look different. You'll see when you get here. The times are changing. He has me in vintage Vernon mode. I can't help it. I'm feeding everybody. I'm on the phone with Channel 8. I'm doing stuff. Everyone's calling. I feel this need to shake it up for God. I'm growing leaders, more ministers than I ever had. Millennials, wait till you find out what's jumping off in May. With over 1,000 millennials, God is doing a move of God. The Outsiders Teen Ministry, 500 kids coming to church every Saturday, walking down a street with no sidewalk. Can I get a what? We used to run from church. They run into the church. Would you clap and thank God that millennials love our church? And young people and seasoned people and older people, there is a move of God. Maybe because I'm doing work at my house. And I work construction for years, so I understand that when you're building scaffold to stand on, the higher the scaffold, the stronger the base gotta be. the higher you going. And something in my heart told me as we enter this third month of the year to come tell the word, church, don't let the year get away and you haven't prayed. Oh, intercessors, y'all keep bothering me, okay? And we're going to keep pushing our people that prayer is the key. Do me a favor. Don't go to heaven till you read everything E.M. Bounds regarding prayer. I could give you like 100 quotes, but suffice it to say, I'll just give you one. Feel free to take a picture of it because it's this powerful. It was E.M. Bounds who said, and I quote, "The men who have done the most for God in this world have been early on their knees. He who fritters away the early morning, its opportunity and freshness and other pursuits than seeking God, will make poor headway seeking him the rest of the day. If God is not first in our thoughts and efforts in the morning, he will be in the last place the remainder of the day." Unquote. If God is not first in the morning, he'll be in last place. How do you know? Because many millennials, with your good heart itself, the first thing you do in the morning is look at your phone. Matter of fact, I would say 85 to 90% of people in this room, the first thing you do every morning is look at your phone. I don't cut mine on until I've had my meditation. I can't. Pastor, what if somebody died? Lean on somebody and say, they'll be dead when you get through. Go ahead, I promise. No, I promise, they'll stay dead until you get finished. Don't live your life by the tyranny, thank you, Bishop Joy, the tyranny of the moment. Oh, I got to be available. Mama may call. My daughter may call. No, there's sometimes I need Jesus in me. I need Jesus in me. And so this is not exciting, but it's pastoral. In this first quarter of the year, let me challenge all members of the Word. I want 15 minutes a day, minimum. Who'll try? Who'll try? If you're already over 15 minutes, I'm not talking to you, but who'll give me 15? 15, and I want you to read the one-year Bible. It's in the bookstore. You grown, Google it. The one-year Bible, New Living Translation, NIV version, some version you can feel. You read a little of the Old Testament, a little of the New, a Psalm and a Proverb. It takes about 7 minutes. By December 31st, you will have read the whole Bible. You need the Lord. This is so good. This is so good. Let me hurry. Y'all tired of me because the next verse says, meanwhile. Meanwhile, while he's praying, his disciples was in trouble. When the last time you touched your neighbor, look down your whole row and say, one of us is in trouble. Go ahead. Say, I don't care what you look like. Don't let the smooth taste fool you. Somebody may be in trouble. Somebody is in trouble financially, relationally, maritally. Can I tell y'all something cold-blooded? The Bible says that his cousin had died. He's grieving and bleeding. People still look to him, so he couldn't stop leading. And then, of course, people were hungry. There was some feeding. He got drained emotionally, existentially, so he was needing. He's in the middle of prayer, but meanwhile, the same cats that he had sent to the other side are now in the middle of a storm. He knew it because he was in contact with his father. So his father revealed to him, they in trouble, they need you. Don't get me started. Did he send the storm? Did he let the storm come? Did the devil send it? How come he didn't stop it? Did he know the storm was going to come before he sent them? Was the test of the storm a test of their faith? Was he looking for a place to show off? Was he looking for a glory moment? Do some stuff I go through is not even about you? God just looking for a place to bring you out? That the stuff you in right now is not even for you, it's for your cousin who doesn't come to church? And when they see him bring you out of the storm, it's going to make them run toward him away from their norm. I feel like preaching. Is there anybody here that knows that in the midst of a storm? So the text says, the next verse says, so Jesus at 3 in the morning, 35 and over, you know we ain't leaving till 3 in the morning. Please peep this, because the text says at 3 in the morning, the fourth watch of the night, the disciples saw him walking on water. Y'all missed that, okay? Did you miss the movie? You just walk in getting your popcorn and stuff. Please catch this, because I want y'all to understand he's praying and talking to his Father about 3, because he's ubiquitous. He's all-knowing, sovereign. He's sovereign. He's ubiquitous. He's every place at the same time. He knows everything. He could sense they were in a storm. He's like, oh, let me. I love you, Father. I'll get back with you. Let me go over here and get these guys. Oh, man. He walks up to the sea. He's like, oh, man. Water, come pick me up. You know what? I'm going to start another church. So the same water that got them in trouble, he's walking on the same thing that has them overwhelmed. I don't need a God who can walk on my situation and walk on my circumstance. The same water that had them in a hissy fit, he used it for transportation. And say, water, come pick me up. Water said, yes, sir, we were created by you. There would be no water if you had not said, let there be light, let there be water. God created everything, the same water he created. Picked him up. He was able to walk on water. He comes walking to them at 3 in the morning. I know it had to be a storm, because many of them were fishermen by trade. Why would a person who's used to storms be scared of one? Unless it's the kind of storm that your degree can't help you with. It's the kind of storm that your money, don't y'all look at me like that. I don't care who you think you are. Won't life present you with something that your masters can't master? Is there anybody here that's been through some stuff? What does money mean when the doctor shakes his head? What does money mean when you catch up with another brother in the bed? What does money mean when grandmama dead? What does money mean? Won't God allow something to come in your life to help you know you can't make it without him? Won't there be a storm that will humble you and teach you, Lord, I need thee every, I'm going to end up. I wish I had somebody downtown, somebody in Shaw High School. This had to be, Bishop Carr, a different kind of storm. It had to be. It had to be. He came walking on water. I want to put it up on the screen, because the text says, they said, it is a ghost. It is a ghost. They were terrified in phobos in the Greek. Fear. They were in phobos and fear. They were terrified. Now, years ago, when I was younger, ministers and future pastors, I would have worked this right here and got me a wonderful emotive response. Let me tell you what you could say right here and just wreck the church. I would have said they were scared when they saw him. And then I would have said, it's a trip when you with me and don't know me. You see? I that's what I thought would happen. It's a trip when you walk with me but don't know me. It seemed like if don't nobody know me, those that have walked with me should have knew me. That would be cute and people would go to jumping. The problem is that's cute, but pragmatically that's not a reality. It's so cute to say they should have knew who he was. How you gonna walk with him? That's cute, but let's really set the context. It's storming out there. It's thundering and lightning. Jesus come walking. Don't you look at me like that, because I'm sorry, lean on somebody and say, I've been scared with Jesus. Go ahead. I'm starting me another church. I need some straight up people that won't life happen. And even though you should know who he is, won't life push you to a place where you don't know if it's him, if it's the devil, if it's your past, if it's your ex, if he's teaching you, whooping you, testing you. You don't know what to feel, and you can be saved with Jesus and still confused. Preach right now. I'm looking for some real saints that would jump up and shake somebody's hand and say, I've been scared with Jesus. Go ahead. I've made some mistakes since I've been saved. I've bust some moves I shouldn't have bust with the Holy Ghost. Everybody has a moment where their faith falters. where their faith fails. I'm tired of pseudo spirituality. Girl, you should have knew better. Faith should have kept you. I know, but he's still working on me. Do me a favor, slap somebody and say, please be patient with me. Go ahead, tell them God. Go ahead, tell somebody God is not through with me yet. Keep praying for me. I'm not what I used to be, but I'm not what I want to be. I'm in between my history and my destiny. I'm in between what I used to be and what I'm going to be. I'm in between already, and I wish I had some real saints that even with Jesus, even with the Holy Ghost, even with a teaching church, a storm came. And I didn't handle the storm. I know I should have trusted him. I know I should have knew him. But I got scared. I know I have as your pastor. Let me take off my clothes so you can get naked too. I know there have been times I should have leaned on him, but my flesh got in the way. There's been times I should have knew what he was up to, but I didn't know if it was him or my fear or my past or my family mess or my mama's mess, my daddy's demons. I ain't know what it was. I should have trusted, but I'm telling you, some stuff can jump off where he's coming tall with you and you don't know if it's him or not. You don't know. You just... Lord, help me. I don't know. I gotta go. I bid you goodbye. But the first thing I love about the text is that when I'm in trouble, write it down, God cares. Ooh, I said, God cares. God cares. Can I tell you, somebody walked in here and you need to hear me tell you, he cares. Not you. You got a real strong family base between your spouse and your strong family and all the love and support you've been given your whole life. You always sort of feel loved and cared for. But trust me, there's somebody on your road don't know if nobody care. They feel like B.B. King. Don't nobody love me but my mama, and she might be jiving too. You'd be surprised who does not know if anybody cares. I'm telling you, he cares. Yeah, sometimes family can be half jealous and half mad and half distant, and you're going through something, especially if you're the one with the degree in the family. You're the one with a couple dollars, then they already mad because you're the successful one. So there are places where even though you got a couple of things, they don't know you're still in a bad place. But because they all want to be you and assume everything's okay with you, they don't know right now you need to be cared for. Yes. You can pay your house note, but you got other stuff, and you don't feel like nobody cares. That's why Christ becomes critical, because he says, cast all your cares upon me, for I care for you. But not only does God care, God comes. Because what good is it for you to care but not come? If you care, then come. He cared so much that he stopped talking to his father and walked on water to get to them. But when he came, they said, it's a ghost. They were afraid. But as opposed to cussing him out and saying, y'all should have knew me, he said, don't be afraid, it is I. So not only does God care and does God come, you'll love this. Thirdly, God comes. He comes. Oh, he comes. All my fears. He sees every one of my tears. Don't you look at me like that. He'll calm you. He'll give you a kind of tranquility and equanimity. Just a $2 word that means calm. To have equanimity, to remain calm. He calmed the situation. And people keep asking me, I've done hundreds of funerals. I'm not embellishing. It got to be 1,000, maybe more. I don't know. Over the years, I don't know. There's a difference between a saved family and an unsaved family. You can always tell as soon as you walk in the funeral. Some of y'all may think I'm making this up. Only a saint can be tripping with joy. Only a saint. The Bible says, we sorrow not as those that have no hope. The scripture does not say we don't sorrow. It says we sorrow not as people who have no hope. A saint, see, let me tell you something. You just went through something, and God gave you such a grace and such a peace that your family thought you were in denial. They talking behind your back saying, she just ain't faced it yet. She gonna break down soon. She's just smiling and stuff. She ain't faced it. She's just keeping it all in. They don't know you didn't cry it already. And in the midst of your tears, God said, I still got you. See, only a saint can lose a mama, lose a child, lose a husband, lose a marriage, and still come in church with a pep in your step. And people don't know you cried, but you won't lose your mind. Why? Because he will keep thee in perfect peace. Y'all gonna make me jump off this stage. Is there anybody here that has a legal right to be cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs? But do me a favor, push seven people, say, he kept me. Go ahead. No, that's the wrong person. Slap somebody you haven't slapped yet and say, I should have lost my mind, but God kept me. I should have walked away, but God kept me. I should have cut them and killed them, but God kept me. I should have shot everybody, but God kept me. I should have got high, but God kept me. I should have got pregnant, but God kept me. I should be in the penitentiary, but God kept me. Slap eight people, say, he kept me, he kept me. Oh, I got to get out of here. I'm out of time. Stay with me, Mark. We may ride this morning. Please catch this. I got to. Then Pete. Y'all pray for me. I'm a slave to the text. I'm expositional. The text. Then Pete says something puzzling and polemical and perplexing. Pete, in the next verse, when he saw Jesus, said, Lord, if that's you, command me to come out there where you are. I want to be where you. Y'all not catching this. Pete said, it may be stormy out there. It may be unsafe out there. But I'd rather be where you are than in the safety of this boat. Because the safest place in the whole wide world is in, come here old school, the will of God. Come what may, thank you Mississippi Mass, from day to day, keep the faith and be still. It remains to be seen what God can do to the one who submits to his will. So Pete said, I'm willing, but I want permission. I got the faith. But faith without your will equals failure. So I'm willing to bust a move and get out this boat. But I'm not coming unless you tell me I'm in your will. Because I want to don't make it right. Oh, I feel like preaching old school up in here. Because I want to. I need you to tell me. All of you that walk up to me, Pastor, I've been praying and it didn't happen. Every pastor, my church is not growing. Pastor, I'm living right. I love my wife. I study 8 hours a day. I pray. 1 John 5:14 is what I live my life by. It's not a cop-out verse. We have this confidence that if we ask anything according to his will, that is the caveat. According, but I love people. That don't mean he told you to be a pastor. But I want to, irrelevant. I've been trying for 10 years. I love my wife. I study, I pray, but it's not on you, brother. Now, you can try to fake it. I don't care how much I want to go to the NBA. I used to see bros down the way. This one guy, I still never forget, every day go to the court. Just go to the court. I mean, every day, bounce the ball. We live by Longwood basketball court, so I could see people walking to the court. He would walk up there every day. Couldn't hoop a lick. Another bro don't ever go up there. He go up there, score 30. He's in the right will. He's in purpose. I want y'all to catch this. Many of you praying for a husband when you should be praying for your will. I know you're sexual. I know you're lonely. I know you got a son that needs a man in the house with him. But instead of praying, Lord, give me a husband, say, God, give me your will. Because the way I got this child was out of your will. The way I got in this situation was doing what I want. So I ain't making another move. Tell somebody, I ain't moving till God mug my head. Go ahead. He gonna have to push me through a door. Lord, if you want me to do something, I want 5 dreams in a row. I want a prophet to confirm the five dreams. Then I want to see a Super Bowl commercial. Then I want a helicopter writing something in the sky saying, move to Phoenix. Until I see that. I'm sorry, somebody over 30, push somebody and say, I'm too old to say, oops, go ahead. No more oops for me. I can't buy the wrong car. I've been married once already. I got a baby daddy. I had a bad job. I just fixed my credit. I ain't got time to fix it again. I ain't busting no more moves until you tell me. Oh, I'm out of time. Peter said, Lord, just tell me to come. Just tell me to come. Tell me to come. See if I don't come out there right now. Now, you do know that Peter is not in the boat by himself. I like Pete. Can I tell y'all why I like Pete? Pete, my favorite disciple. I know some of y'all feel the same way. Peter tripped now. Pete cuss. Pete cuss like, he don't cuss all the time. Pete cuss like sometime. Well, you had to make him real mad, and Pete like used one cuss word. And then Pete had an attitude because they tried to arrest Jesus. He took out his knife and cut off Malchus' ear, and Jesus put it back on. Said, you always be fighting people, Dad. That's why we don't like to bring you here, to put the ear back on the man, because Pete always starting fight. I'm sorry, but Pete is a trip, but yet he want to be where Jesus is. Y'all pray for me. I don't know. I feel like I got five members that's not perfect yet. Some of y'all lean on somebody and say, I don't do the stuff I used to do as much. Go ahead. The things I used to do. I got, tell somebody, I got one cuss word left in me. It's almost gone. One left, only if I drop something on my foot. I think some stuff I shouldn't think. Can I get five people that Peter reminds you of you? That even though you got stuff you're not proud of, you don't come here to be cute. You come here to be what God is. Is there anybody? Do me a favor. Push five people. Say, I got 99 problems, but my worship is real. Go ahead. Is there anybody? That's the wrong person. Jump up on your feet. Walk over to five people. Shake their hand like you're going to shake it off and say, I'm getting off this boat. Go ahead. I've been in this boat too long. The devil is a lie. He's pushing me to another level. Is there anybody here that will shake your neighbor's hand and say, neighbor, get out the boat. You've been in the boat too long. You've been stuck too long. He's calling you out of the boat. If you're not too mean, jump up on your feet and hug three people real tight and tell them, get out of the boat. Can I get a witness? Let's go ahead and ride. Mark, drop it like it's hot. Can I get a witness? And goodbye, y'all. I'm closing this morning. But I'm glad that one day I got out the boat. Yes, I did. Is there anybody here on a Sunday afternoon that would look your neighbor in the face? I said, do what I told you to do. Look your neighbor in the face. Say, neighbor. No, say it like I said it. Say, neighbor. I've made some mistakes in my life. Yeah, but is there anybody here on a Sunday afternoon, just one more time, shake somebody's hand like you're gonna shake it off. Say, neighbor, I was sinking in a world of sin, sinking to rise no more. But the master of the sea, he heard my despairing cry, and from the waters, yeah, he lifted me. Now safe am I. If you're not too mean, grab somebody by the hand. Say, neighbor, let's step out of the boat. You've been broke too long. You've been stuck too long. I dare you to walk around the church. Just go to walking around the church. Say, I'm 35 years old. I'm 56 years old. I'm 43 years old. I'm 20 years old. But I'm getting out the boat. This is my time. Oh, yeah. Yeah. I feel all right. God bless y'all. If you're not too mean, I dare you to hug three people. Say, this is your time and this is your season. Don't worry about your family. They stuck in the boat. You may have to go by yourself, but he's calling you to another level. The devil is a lie. If you really believe it, don't wait till the battle is over, but shout right now, if the Lord been good to you, don't stand there and be cute, but throw your hands up, throw your head back, let me hear you say yes, yeah, yeah. Hallelujah. I got another service, but this your last chance. I want somebody on this side to walk to that side. Somebody on that side, walk to this side. If you're stuck in the aisle, then turn around and tell somebody, I'm getting out the boat. I feel like my credit is changing. My finance is changing. My prayer life is changing. I'm going to open that business. I'm going to finish that degree. I'm going to be a better mother. I'm going to be a better father. I'm coming out of debt. My needs are met. Don't worry about your neighbor. Step out the boat. Don't worry about your friends. They're stuck in the boat. You walk out on faith and say, this is it. This is my time. I got a feeling. I got a feeling. I'm out of time. Somebody downtown, y'all look at pastor. Come on to the altar. Come on, run up here. I don't care who y'all. Come on, come on, step out the boat. If God, the altars, listen, y'all look at me, because here's what's crazy. Look at this, Nate. Here's what's crazy. The average person in your family downtown, let me be very careful with my word. Come on, the altar's open. Don't have come. Don't ever have come to this altar. Stay in your seat or come. Don't have come. And you don't have to come, but don't have come. I don't like a half altar call. If God is calling you, then come on to me. But y'all look at me. Some people in your family, you see, here's where I could be cute and put your family down, but your family may not be safe. But let something jump off up here right now. They'll be up here in 33 minutes with a gun and a knife. So your family, let me tell you how much I love them, because they was there for you when wasn't nobody else. Yeah, they may not go to church. They may still drink. Some of your cousins may do what they do, but they'll be there. So love them. Pray for them. But let me tell you something about them. That's a reality. Most of them not getting off the boat. They got good hearts, but they gonna use them same cars they played spades with in 83. They ain't even bought a new deck of cards. Grandma, God bless her, mama, auntie, sister, brother. And the boat was fine with everybody until you made a systemic change. You threw the whole thing off because you had the unusual audacity, the unmitigated gall to throw everybody off and step out the boat. When you stepped out, it made everybody realize they were still in there. That's why they saying stuff like, so you think you all that now because you go to church and paying your little debt. You ain't no better than us. Who you think you? So you got to know how to love them but not be stuck with them. Because there are some people that have a lifetime lease in an apartment called apathy. that'll hit you Tuesday. They have a lifetime. They not ever leave in apathy. They not ever changing. They not ever moving. And you'll look up, you'll be stuck with them. They have a permanent residency in a house called mediocrity. And the reason why you only got two cousins and one friend left, because you got out the boat. Girl, ain't nobody got no money. Lean on somebody, say, somebody do. I got something. Go ahead, tell somebody. Girl, you know ain't nobody in this family got nothing. I don't want to hear that. I come against that in Jesus' name. How come I can't go to Paris? How come I can't pay off my house before 30 years? How come I can't get a degree? How come I can't marry one man and stay with him because all y'all hate men but always pregnant? But you hate men. How come I can't retire and leave my grandkids a paid off house? How come I can't turn our property over to a trust that it never leaves our family the rest of our life? How come I can't have annuities and mutual funds? You don't have to be rich to be debt free. You don't have to be rich to have extra money. You don't have to be rich to go to Paris. You don't have to be rich to start paying for your children's college right now. You don't have to be rich to actually fall in love with one man and stay with him. Singles, divorcees, so what? Your past is over. But I'll be so mad at you if you marry another dummy. Get out the boat. The next verse, Peter said, can I come? Jesus said, come on, Cletus. And he stepped out the boat. And I don't care what you say. He is one of only two people in the history of the world to walk on water. Has your husband ever been acting arrogant? And you said, so you think you walk on water? Peter said, well, actually. And he was almost there. He had made history. No one can say, Pastor Moses walked on water. No, he didn't. He walked through it. Water stood up on liquid legs. He walked across on a sovereign sidewalk. Jonah walked on water. No, he got captured in it by a whale. Elijah, only Pete. And the Bible says, the next verse, he was on his way, but seeing the wind. How do you see the wind, by the way? He became frightened and began to sink. And you know what he said? Lord, save me. Try not to shout. Not only does he care, not only does he come, not only does he come, not only does he call, but God catches. Because when I was about to sink, God, don't y'all look at me. When I was about to sink, God, and if you're here today, in this crowded church downtown, come on, Word Church East, Word downtown, and you came with a friend, you ought to say, Lord, save me. I buried a 19-year-old last Thursday. You don't have to be doing nothing wrong to die. He just hit some black ice and crashed into a pole. Intestines and all that hit the steering wheel, 19. His mama stood right there and told me, my baby was coming home telling me, mama, there's this church you gotta go to. So his death made his mama come here. His death was the seed in the soil of her salvation. I got to show you something in a minute that I want all of you to see. But if you don't go to our church, would you raise your hand where I can see it, please? If you don't go to our church, I see you. Anybody else? I'm not going to embarrass you. Visitors hate to be pointed out. I wouldn't dare do that. Just raise your hand. I see you, baby. Raise it high. Don't play me. Come on. Jesus love you. It's only one prayer that a sinner can pray. You can't say, Lord, help my mama, my baby's sick. Would you keep my daughter from being molested? You can't pray no prayer. Only one prayer that a sinner could pray, Lord, save me. Because unless you belong to him, how can you talk to him? The Bible says you are sons and not bastards once you receive him. If you raise your hand and you've never been baptized, raise your hand again if you don't go to our church. If I've never baptized you and no pastor's ever baptized you, to our Catholic friends, not sprinkle, if you've never been baptized, raise your hand. Yeah, would all y'all do me a favor? Altar workers, y'all can stay right here. Do me a favor. I don't even want them to go to the...
Sitting Services is a personal care attendant agency. Kelly's has served all parishes of Region 6 for the past 25 years. We are locally owned and locally operated. We would like to thank you for giving us the opportunity to serve you with dignity, respect, and compassion through our ministry. Kelly's is seeking attendants and caregivers with the same qualities of dignity, respect, and compassion. Thank you for giving us the opportunity to serve you. Kelly is an equal opportunity employer. You can reach us by calling 318-793-8453 or 1-800-913-7784. Or you can visit us at our website located at kellyservicehouston.com. Another proud sponsor of KAYT.
What will people think when they hear that I'm a Jesus freak? What will people do if they find that it's true?
Hey, what's up? This is Michael Tate with the story of another real-life Jesus freak. It's 1890, China. Chang, a thief and a womanizer, had gone blind. But when his eyesight is partially restored at the mission hospital, he gratefully accepts Jesus as his savior. A missionary testing Chang to make sure his conversion is genuine and not just emotional gives him a challenge. Go and tell your neighbors how you have changed. When I visit, if you are still following Jesus, I will baptize you. 5 months later, the missionary is astonished to see 400 others waiting with Chang to be baptized. In the years to follow, Chang would lead thousands to salvation before he is beheaded, a martyr for the gospel of Christ.
Will you stand with the voice of the martyrs? Go online to persecution.com.
What will people think when they hear that I'm a Jesus freak? What will people do if they find that it's true?
In month 8 of the I Commit to Pray campaign, the Voice of the Martyrs is praying persecuted Christians are able to rejoice in their suffering. Acts chapter 5 describes how the jealous Sadducees had the apostles arrested because they had been healing the sick and drawing great crowds. The apostles were flogged and ordered not to speak of Jesus in public. Upon their release, they celebrated. Not because of their freedom, they rejoiced, verse 41 says, because God had counted them worthy to suffer disgrace for his name. For more on the I Commit to Pray campaign, go online to persecution.com.
KAYT FM. Broadcasting on the cutting edge of technology. You can't stop, can't stop, can't stop, can't stop listening.
A seed rooted in me, growing inside for my destiny. Visions I see, greatness I feel, and it's calling me.
Open my eyes and help me see all of the power you've invested within me.
You're drawing me from my comfort zone, safely leading and making me whole.